Good morning.
Morning.
It is a delight to be here today and have the opportunity to see each of you, to hear this tremendous music from the choir and the special music this morning. I enjoy good music. I have a very low tolerance for racket, but I do enjoy good sound music. You can be turning in your Bible to the book of Romans. I'm going to read in a minute from the 16th chapter of the book of Romans. I called a few days ago and asked Brother Purcell if he allowed squatters on his parking lot. I guess that's what they would call us back in early days. You know, people that just roamed around from here to there, and wherever they could find a place to sit for a while, they'd just sit there. They called them squatters. So he gave permission for us to sit on the parking lot for a few days. We'll be commuting back and forth over to Faith in the mornings and the evenings of the meeting there. But in the process of our conversation, he got you into the problem you have at the moment of listening to me this morning. I'd love to hear Brother Purcell preach. In fact, I heard him preach yesterday. How many of you knew he preached yesterday? Didn't know that, did you? Really, it was a year ago, but I put the CD in and preached him all the way over here yesterday. I asked him when we arrived. I said, "Are you tired?" He said, "Well, not particularly." I said, "Well, you've been preaching today. So I know you're grateful for the man God's given you to preach to you and to pastor you." I want to read from Romans 16 this morning. I'll begin with verse 14 and read through verse 16. If you have your Bible, you might want to take a look. These verses are not some of the more familiar verses. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, this is going to be our focus passage for the next few minutes this morning. This is one of the sections of Scripture that gets very little pulpit time. Usually when we come to a chapter in the Bible that is filled with names, most of which we cannot pronounce, most of whom we did not know, we have a tendency to go to the next page.
Amen.
Don't you hope the Lord doesn't treat you that way? I hope your name is on a particular book.
Yes,
and when the Lord comes to it, I hope He acknowledges that.
Amen.
Now, I want to just take a broad shot at the whole chapter. It'll take about 2 minutes, and then I'm going to focus on these verses that I've read. It's pretty obvious the chapter is a list of people. It's hard to be involved in God's work if you don't like people. God is interested in people. Not just large groups of people, but individuals. God's business is people business. Now, when you read this chapter, you find out that God's business and the people He's been involved with are of various kinds. Now, I want you to look back in verses 1 all the way down to verse 13 real quickly. And I want you to notice, look in verse 7, he says, "Salute Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles." Now, that is one of several phrases in those first 13 verses. People who are of note. Now that doesn't mean musical people. It means people that are well known, well respected, have facial recognition among leadership circles. I have a name for those people. I'm going to call them outstanding people. Every once in a while, God will reach down and pick up an outstanding fellow, and He'll use that fellow. He can do that. I happen to think Moses is pretty outstanding.
Yeah. Amen.
Nehemiah was pretty outstanding.
Yes.
And you could just go a long way down the list. God has had some very outstanding people that He's used. But now, look in verse 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." So the Lord has some outstanding people, but the Lord in this chapter gave a warning about some offensive people. He said, look, these people that hold doctrines contrary to what you have learned, mark them. Avoid them. Why? Because you don't want to be identified with them or influenced by them or encouraged them.
Amen.
So you have outstanding people mentioned in the chapter. You have offensive people. Look in verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Talked about some obedient people.
Yes.
Obedient people. Now, I want to look at the last part of verse 24. I want to see if you recognize this person. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. How many of you know that person?
Amen.
Huh? And so in our little outline we'd say this is the omnipotent person. Okay. So now, how many kinds of people have we talked about? Outstanding people, offensive people, obedient people, omnipotent person. But now, look at my text. It's a list of names. All but one are men. There's one woman in this list. Her name is Julia. I've never met a man named Julia. I've met a man named Julius. No, it wasn't Caesar. But I have met a man named Julius. But now, I've met lots of ladies named Julia. But all the other names are masculine names. But if you look, there's nothing said about these people. They are named. In fact, one is spoken of that is unnamed. And that's another feminine. His sister. All right. Now here's what I'm going to talk to you about just for a few minutes this morning. I want to talk to you about ordinary people.
Yeah, yes.
Ordinary people. And I want to impress on your mind the truth that God is interested in and God can and does use ordinary people. Now he can use outstanding people, but let's face the fact. Most of us will never get in that class. We're just ordinary. We're just day in, day out people. I mean, we get up every morning, we eat breakfast, we go to work, we come home at night. We come to church, we do what we can in the community. There's really nothing unusual about us at all. We're just ordinary folks.
Yes.
Now, if you leave ordinary people out of who you want to have anything to do with, you're going to leave out most of the world. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln who said, the Lord must have liked common folks. He made a lot of us. So now, I want to talk about that. Ordinary people. Have you ever noticed our entire society has become geared toward the unusual? Toward the extraordinary. Toward the outstanding. If you don't have something unusual, phenomenal, out of the ordinary about you, our society don't pay you any attention. But now, the Lord takes note. Now, there's a word used repeatedly in this chapter, and it is that word salute. You see that? Salute. Now, if you look back in verse 3, there's a synonym, and it is the word greet. Salute or greet. Same idea. Now, look in verse 16. He said how that salute was to be done. He said, salute one another with an holy kiss. Now look at it. That's the way people greeted one another in that part of the world. And that's the way they still greet one another in that part of the world. But if I may, I'd suggest this. Just a nice handshake will do for me. I'm satisfied with that. Just a nice handshake. Huh? Now, he said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, we know that a kiss can be unholy. What about the betrayal of Jesus? Betrayed with what? What is supposed to be reserved as an expression of love was employed as an expression of betrayal and deceit. But God had Paul to say, tell these people hello. Do you ever go to your mailbox or answer your telephone and find a letter or find someone calling you that you've not heard from in a long time and they just said this, I just had you on my mind. I wanted to tell you hello. Now that seems like a very simple thing to do, but do you know what? You don't know what somebody else may be facing and what that might mean in their life. I have quite a file of letters and cards that I've gotten through the years of my ministry that were very significant. Usually, if I'm in a real low time and somebody calls, somebody writes a letter, so I'll write a little note on that letter and I'll file it. And I'll go back and read it again. And I'll read it again. I'll read it again. You may not value the fact that other people remember you and pray for you, but I do. Now I wonder if there might be anybody you might ought to call or anybody you might ought to write. Just an ordinary fellow. Nothing unusual about him. Just plain old vanilla. I mean, when I go to the ice cream store, they say, what kind you want? I said, what kind you got? Oh, we've got 50 flavors. I said, just give me vanilla. I'm just an ordinary guy. These people are ordinary people. Now, I want to say four things about it. You ready? Four things about it. And you can listen to what I'm going to say about them. And if you find yourself in this somewhere, you feel free to take it with you when you leave. But now, if you're offended by it, if you've got the idea, hey, I'm not an ordinary person. Son, I am somebody. Well, if you'll make me aware of that, I'll salute you when you go out. I'll take care of that. I don't want to offend you about who you are. But now, if you have the idea you might fit in this ordinary class, I give two or three things. Number one, you ought to show appreciation to God for making you ordinary. Now, this is deeper than you may think it is, because many people in the modern day world are absolutely discontented, dissatisfied with who God made them. They won't accept who God made them. They won't. They just won't receive who God made them. I tell you what. If a fellow has a problem accepting who God has made him, he'll probably have a problem accepting God. I mean, it's hard to be wrong about the creation and right about the Creator. See, a part of accepting who I am is acknowledging who made me who I am. How about that? So what I need to do if I feel like I'm an ordinary fella is I need to be thankful. I need to show appreciation. Appreciation for my lineage. And an appreciation for my liberties. Now, if you're an ordinary person, you got lots of freedom. Lots of liberty. But the better known you are, the more facial recognition you have, the less liberty you have. Can you imagine, I mean, that's all any of us will ever do in this room, but can you imagine somebody that maybe has served in the office of presidency and what restraints that puts on them for the rest of their life? They'll never go anywhere that somebody don't know. And they'll never go anywhere without being in danger. Well, I don't feel in danger everywhere I go. Once in a while I do, but not everywhere. See, I'm just ordinary fellow. I can go back over in Mississippi. I can take off my shoes. I can go barefooted outside. I can go squirrel hunting in the fall, deer hunting in the winter. I can go fishing in the summer if that's what I want to do. I can ramble around over that. Nobody ever asks me a thing. Why? Because I'm not real important. I'm just an average guy. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
But some of you younger people, take hold of the truth that if God has let you be born in an ordinary home to ordinary parents that love you, that love God, that serve God and will raise you to honor God, you ought to be a shouting to high heaven. It doesn't matter that you don't have the accolades of the world. It doesn't matter that you don't have the potential of somebody else. Rejoice in who God made you.
Amen.
Learn to show appreciation. Let me give you a second thing. If you feel like you're an ordinary person, stop arguing with God about it. I'm going to give you an illustration. This will kind of speed up what I'm saying. How many of y'all remember the account back in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4 about the Shunammite woman that Elijah and Elisha paid a visit to? You remember that? You remember one day the man of God was there and he asked that Shunammite woman this, said, would she be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered that question this way, I dwell among my own people. Now let me translate that in Mississippi terms. And hope you Georgia folks can get it. You see, when you ask somebody, hey, would you like me to speak to the king on your behalf, or the captain of the host, that is the equivalent. Would you like me to ask the president? Would you like me to take your case to the high echelon of the government? She said, I dwell among my own people. Translated, here's what that means. No, thank you, sir. I'm happy with where God put me.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, it's a great day in your life when you quit arguing with the providences of God. Just accept who you are, where God has put you, and the opportunity just to be involved. The opportunity just to have a little part in anything. Just learn to show appreciation and stop arguing with the providences of God. Well, number three, if you feel like you're an ordinary person, once you have shown appreciation and stopped arguing, you need to start applying yourself.
Yes. Amen.
Just start applying yourself. Now, I'm not going to read it right now, but when you get home today, Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse number 5 talks about a group of people called the Tekoites. He wasn't talking about Tekoa, Georgia either. I know that's up the road, but he wasn't talking about Tekoa, Georgia. You see, the Tekoites, according to Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says they put not their necks to the work. Now, Nehemiah had some hard work to do. I mean, the city of Jerusalem was vulnerable. The walls were down, the gates were down, and the city was a heap of rubbish. And it was Nehemiah's occupation to raise the walls, to hang the gates, to rebuild the city. And there was abundance of work to do. But here's a bunch of folks that put not their necks to the work. Now there were some who did. But God took note of those who didn't as well. And that brings up this question. I wonder if he's still keeping books that way. And I want to ask you something. Do you really have your neck to the Word? See, I grew up on the farm. I know what that phrase means. Son, on the farm, every person was expected to carry their part of the load. You couldn't shift it off on everybody else. You had to pull your weight. Pull your weight. Now, if you didn't weigh as much as the next guy, you wasn't expected to pull as much as the next guy. But you had to pull your weight. What does that mean? Apply yourself. Be all that you can be. Now God don't have to have a bunch of specialists. He ain't got to have a bunch of experts. He ain't got to have people that know more than anybody else. He can just use ordinary, plain, simple, vanilla. He can just use people that'll appreciate who they are and who He is and yield themselves to it. But I'm going to tell you what He does well. He don't like half-heartedness.
Amen.
Personally, I like the way the choir sang this morning. You say, what did you like about it? One of the things I liked about it, they seemed to have their heart in it.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
I mean, this business of coasting. Can I remind you, God's got a world full of work to do, and very few workers seem strike to get the job done. And it's high time that every one of us get our necks to the work. And if God has placed you here, don't expect your pastor and other leadership in the church to do everything that's to be done. Get your neck in the yoke and your neck under the load of the work of God.
Amen. That's good for you.
You see, some people have the idea that God just uses outstanding people to do unusual things. I think of it different. He uses ordinary people to do unusual things. All right. One more thing and I'm going to be through. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. The Lord Jesus made a very clear statement. He said it this way. No man can serve two masters. Now that statement implies though no man can serve two masters, every man serves at least one.
Right. Yeah.
So, if I'm an ordinary person, what should I do? Show appreciation. Stop arguing. Start applying myself. And I ought to declare my allegiance to Jesus Christ. I mean, Lord, I may not be the best. I may not be the biggest. I may not be able to do the most. But God, everything I have, I want to give it to you. And I want you, Lord Jesus, to be the master and the ruler and the Lord of my life. I want you to have all. Now that's four good things about ordinary people. Now you walk through the list, see where you fit. You need to make some changes. This is a good time in the service to do that. We're standing together. Brother Purcell, you come, offer the invitation as you feel led.